This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. In March a year ago, the state's Office of Legislative Audits gave the Baltimore City Liquor Board a scathing audit. It found no comprehensive policies in writing, scant oversight of procedures, insufficient monitoring of the work done there, too many employees doing too few inspections. The Liquor Board is a state agency funded in the city budget. Legislation in the General Assembly aims to make the board more transparent. Both houses have approved versions of the bill, but they'll still need to work out differences in the versions before it could become law. With me to talk about the legislation and how Baltimore's Liquor Board might change is its outgoing chair, Stephen Fogelman. He'll be leaving in a few weeks because he's just been appointed a judge on the Orphans Court. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Sheila. Good
welcome.
Morning.
And also with us is Becky Witt, a lawyer at the Community Law Center in Baltimore. She blogs about the Liquor Board at their blog, Booze News. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Becky Witt, your organization, the Community Law Center, helped craft this legislation. What are the most important things it would do?
It does a few things. First of all, it would require all applications for liquor licenses to be complete before a hearing is scheduled. It also requires that the board post the application and any accompanying documents online 2 weeks before the hearing is scheduled so that everyone has a chance to look through all of those documents. And doesn't have to go down to the Liquor Board offices to do that and look through the files. Another thing it does is it requires the board to update their rules and regulations every 5 years and put those online as well, which will be a big help. The current rules and regulations were adopted in 1998, and they are out of date, so that'll be great. And the last thing is that it will allow the board to remove the executive secretary and the deputy executive secretary if they need to. Currently, they can only be removed for incompetence or, you know, you have to have charges against them in order to remove them.
And under this legislation, they would serve at the will of
exactly.
the board. Stephen Fogelman, do you, as chair of the Liquor Board, do you see the same problems that this legislation fixes?
We do. And we think this legislation goes a long way to address some of our systemic problems that were identified in the audit.
Do you really need state legislation to do some of this? Sounds like procedures that the board would have control over itself.
Well, some of the things that we're doing post-audit, we've adopted a corrective action plan. We put into place a lot of changes in the agency that are directly addressing the deficiencies in the audit. I believe that the rest of this legislation identifies and addresses some of the other deficiencies from the audit.
Well, and certainly you have made efforts at transparency. You've videotaped hearings, posted them online. You've got a Twitter handle, Balto Beer Baron, where you tweet about goings on there. So that raises the question in my mind. I mean, you've been chair since 2007. Why haven't these problems been fixed before?
Some of these problems are systemic problems. They deal with the chairmanship as a part-time job and the management staff across the street, or that is at the agency 5 days a week, as a full-time job. When I came on board in 2007, I was given some information, an attorney general's opinion, for example, asking from a senator to the attorney general's office, who really runs the board? The three members of the board, that is the bosses of the agency, appointed by the governor, made half of what the executive secretary made, combined, made half of what the executive secretary made on an annual basis. So the AG's opinion concluded that for those reasons and others, that the executive secretary would generally handle the day-to-day management of the operations, along with the advice of the chairman. And for many, many years, for decades, that's how the Liquor Board operated. And it seemed to operate all right. Unfortunately, it may have operated better in the 1990s and the 1980s with what amounted to be no written protocol whatsoever, nothing but oral history and legend passed from one manager to the other as to how to run the agency. We have made leadership changes in the front office since this audit was released, and we're confident Executive Secretary in an acting capacity, Douglas Page, has provided countless hours of work to write basically a code, a Bible, a standard operating manual for the Liquor Board for tasks as mundane as how to greet a customer at the front desk to as important as how the commissioners conduct their public hearings. It's simply never been written down.
Okay, and I get the importance of looking forward, but I still am confused. I mean, you, as I understand it, were appointed after there had been a city audit that found some problems. And yet, they don't seem to have been fixed during your tenure. And I'm just curious about why.
Right. The issues, I believe, that were issued in the city audit were a little bit different and certainly not as comprehensive as a statewide audit. And I'll be frank, the state audit uncovered things that a lot of members of the staff and the commissioners and chairman were not personally aware. It was an eye-opener to all of us, from things that we possibly could not have known, that our inspectors had kept records in their trunk in order to be able to retrieve them when they needed them and to maintain their security.
Because they weren't safe in the office.
Right. So the level to which we had problems really was an eye-opener. And since that day, we've devoted all of our efforts to making sure that we correct these deficiencies and run as an efficient agency for the public.
Becky Witt, how do these problems affect city residents?
There are a lot of ways. So Community Law Center represents community associations and other nonprofits, and so we just respond to the issues that communities bring to us. And so oftentimes they're bringing to us issues of liquor stores and bars that are not running properly. It could be anything from just being an ugly eyesore to allowing people to loiter out front and be loud and rude to people walking by, all the way to homicide and violent crime, drugs running in and out of an establishment. And so when licensed establishments are not regulated well, these kind of problems can turn up for communities, especially in low-income communities.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Becky Witt, a lawyer at the Community Law Center. She blogs about the Baltimore City Liquor Board at Booze News. And also here is the chair of Baltimore's Liquor Board, Stephen Fogelman. Is anything in the state legislation going to change the number of liquor licenses in the city?
No, not as far as I know.
There are some people who think there's just too many liquor stores in Baltimore. Is that likely to change?
Well, if you're talking about Transform Baltimore and the legislation before the city council dealing with nonconforming uses, that's probably the biggest elephant in the room when it comes to dealing with what is considered to be an overabundance of liquor stores in certain areas of the city. Transform Baltimore is certainly going through the comprehensive rezoning right now. Park Heights Renaissance, I just went on a tour with them last Friday through Park Heights, viewing some of the nonconforming use liquor stores. Liquor Board's going to do everything it can to help in that regard, to make sure that liquor stores or that taverns operate as taverns and not as 7-day liquor stores.
But I thought part of what the audit pointed out was a kind of a lax extension of suspended or non-functioning licenses. That owners were allowed to hold on to those licenses for a long time. And I was curious as to whether any of these procedural changes address that.
So I would be happy to talk about that. That is one of our big issues that we have a problem with. So the statute says that a liquor license establishment can be closed for 180 days. And after that time, the license expires. But if you ask for a hardship extension, you can get an additional 180 days for a total of 360 days of being closed. And after that, the license expires. And the board has traditionally and historically given more than one hardship extension to a lot of licensees, which we believe doesn't comply with what the statute says. And sometimes the board gives out hardship extensions that have not been requested in a timely manner for years and years. And so I think if the board decided to crack down on that and actually enforce that provision, that would clear out a lot of licenses that really have expired a long time ago. But what happens is those licenses are allowed to stay alive through artificial life support for a long time, and then they get transferred to somewhere else and kind of start a new life somewhere else. And so we still have way too many.
So not to put words in your mouth, you're saying there's not new law needed. The law is clear. It's not being enforced.
Exactly.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that there have been some changes at the liquor board. You'd like to see more. Besides that, what else would you like to see?
Basically, all we really want is a level playing field for the community. I think from what community members have told me, that they've always felt like they've kind of had to submit a ton more evidence than the licensees and do way, way more in order to get what they need. And what we really want is just for both sides to be heard in an equal manner. And just for the board to remember that they exist to protect the public and to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of communities and not to protect the licensees.
Stephen Fogelman, as I mentioned, you're about to become an orphans court judge. As someone in leadership at this organization that has seen so much dysfunction, why should people think you're going to be a good judge?
Well, for starters, I've presided over 2,500 administrative hearings over the last 7 years. The agency was faulted in many ways for the management audit, but one area it was not faulted in was the board's decisions. The board's decisions in terms of fines and violations were found to be consistent. If you asked many community association leaders and many, many other people in this city, or if you watch our hearings live on Comcast Channel 25, I believe that presiding over these hearings, I've been fair, I've been objective, and I don't know that Becky's specifically speaking about me in what she just said, because I believe that I've allowed community associations all the time, try to give them some patience, understand that they're not lawyers, and in fact, in many occasions, an unrepresented, that is, a community association without an attorney, has in fact prevailed over a licensee who is represented by counsel. These decisions are often very controversial. As someone who lives in the city of Baltimore and lives just a half a block from a couple of bars, I understand firsthand that a bad business neighbor can ruin an entire neighborhood's quality of life, not just during the day, during the night, and so many other attendant problems. So we are empowered to make some very, very powerful decisions. I believe that myself and the other two commissioners, Elizabeth Smith and Harvey Jones, take our job very, very seriously and attempt to make a balanced playing field for all.
Well, I appreciate you both talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Becky Witt is a lawyer at the Community Law Center in Baltimore. She blogs about the liquor board at their blog, Booze News. Steve Fogelman is chair of Baltimore's liquor board. He'll be leaving that position soon to take an appointment as an orphans court judge. We've got more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. More ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay with us on 88.1.